Bradford. You wake up in your room, for a moment feeling very alone, but then you remember where you are, what's going on. What do you do? It's in the morning, about 10 o'clock.
I have to get my daily exercise in. Don't feel right without it. I brought some, you know, exercise clothes with me. I can go for a little jog in the forest, I bet. I mean, surely there's snow, but then again, I'm used to going through harsh environments like that. So yeah, I'll get ready for that and then try and make off for a little bit of exercise.
And you will do so. You'll have a quick run-in with Dwayne, and he'll say, make sure you don't go too far. It's still snowing. Apparently it broke a bit during the night, but it started up again today. He's a bit worried that if it keeps going, it could be quite difficult to get to the house. But today, it's fine. It's quite nice, actually. You leave the house and go for a brisk jog around the grounds. From behind the house, you can see it is actually in the two-storied house. It really is, even if you can't see it from the front. And it's quite nice out there. Although, again, quite desolate. You could jog straight into those woods and never be seen again. The thought just crosses your mind for a second.
Yeah. There's something about that that is inviting and terrifying at the same time. It feels good to move, at least. The dreams were strange, and it's nice to run off the alcohol from yesterday as well, you know? Freshen up completely. It's nice.
Sean, you wake up in similar fashion, feeling a little alone for a moment at a strange place, but then remembering where you are and what's going on. What do you do for the day? Again, it does seem as if, according to Miss Collins, that Nigel isn't going to be really ready to see you guys until at least 5-6 o'clock. So you have the day to yourself.
I'm a bit surprised at first when I hear that, but then also in a way, I'm a bit relieved, because I feel terrible. I have a far worse hangover than I thought I would have. But I'm used to being hungover too. Apparently I forgot my contact lenses in yesterday when I went to sleep, so my eyes are dry and sticky, and I need to freshen those up while I put on my glasses for a while. I see Brad running out into the forest, or on the trails, and I kind of look down at the men's exercise magazine that I have with me, and I feel a bit guilty for not doing something similar. But I'm finding excuses, and I start instead to just walk around the house, looking at the things, the mural, the photos, anything else that I can find. Try to find something in the fridge that I can nibble on without feeling sick.
And you find some things to nibble on, and again, while the library isn't accessible yet, it seems, only because Miss Collins tells you that Nigel's not feeling very well right now, so you think, fair enough, that seems to be where he spends most of his time. But you can go around that parlour, look at those photos, again, that woman, sometimes in a hospital gown, but other times actually looking quite healthy. A man as well, that must be Nigel's father, William. You're not sure if they keep contact these days, although you realise that none of this care would be possible probably without his father. After all, Nigel can't work anymore, hasn't for some time, you don't think. And there's even quite an interesting little leather-bound book you discover in that parlour. It's got a strange title, called The Book of Arcady. You open it, and it seems to be a little documentation of the house. Pictures mainly, but you think this must be of some of the ancestors of Nigel. Again, the house goes back to the 1800s, and it's just pictures of the floor plans and other people, what the house being built, and then, yes, there's a few where it was abandoned for some time. You can see that, it must have been Nigel's father William, the restoration project. You remember all this. You can see a few before and after photos. Very interesting.
It does grab my attention for quite a while, and I pour myself something to drink just to reset for a bit, and I read and I look at the pictures, and it is quite interesting, yes, how this whole place came to be. So I'll spend these hours investigating that.
As you do so, the hours seem to fly by, actually. It's all very interesting learning about this and seeing these people. Although, maybe there's a bit of melancholy to it as well, because Nigel doesn't have any children, and you think he's an only child, so maybe these are the final days of the family. This book, a final testament to their history.
Yeah, that's a shame that a family does come to an end like that, but I mean, yeah, it's hardly anyone's fault.
Time goes by, and you haven't noticed, but Bradford's joined you, and it's at this point, it must be 5-6 o'clock, when Miss Collins sort of emerges from the library and says, "Hello, you two. Have you had a good day of things? Enjoyed yourselves? Nigel did want you to relax."
"Oh, yes. The grounds outside are really beautiful. I had a nice jog and got to enjoy nature. Lovely.
Well, it's even better when the weather's not so bad. It's getting quite bad, isn't it? Hopefully we'll ease up for tomorrow. Anyway, Nigel wanted, before dinner, to have a little longer chat with you. Feel free to come into the library. Don't worry, I'll excuse myself." And she opens those doors, and it seems you are now able to enter this library. What do you two do?
"Oh, I wanted to check that place out, so certainly I begin heading inside. I want to see what he has there. You know, I'm sure I'm a military man, but I do love to read. And I love a good library."
And so I put the book down and I stand up to join him. I feel like I'm keeping it a bit together more today. Perhaps it's the drinking, or perhaps it's just the first sight of him that I feared so much that... Yeah, let's be with Nigel and enjoy his company. And I remember the things that have been, and what I, in a way, have a feeling that I experienced last night as well. Do I remember that I dreamt?
Yes, you do. Bit fuzzy now, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was completely how it happened, but I just feel a little bit closer to him, somehow.
And you enter the library, and a lovely library it is. You're surprised to see there's another fireplace in here, that too now lit. You're certainly warm. There are big, thick leather chairs in here, at least 3 or 4. A big desk full of notes and books and papers. This must be where he works, or did work. Then again, ever since he came to this house, you don't know if he's been doing much work, so maybe it's just where he keeps himself occupied. There's also a lot of books, Bradford, a lot, hundreds. The shelves are round with them, and they're all really old-fashioned ones with thick leather covers, some of them looking quite old. And there is Nigel. He turns in his chair, it whirs a little, and he smiles and gestures for you to take a seat. "Ah, there they are, admiring the collection. Do take a seat, take a seat. Can I get you, Jennifer, offer them a drink or something?"
"Sure, bourbon would be nice. I enjoyed the one I had yesterday."
I nod in agreement to this and say, "Thanks, Jennifer."
Jennifer goes to get those drinks and brings them back, but then very quickly leaves to the left, and you can see, just peering, that seems to be a bedroom to the left, and you think you can see some equipment in there, so... maybe that's why you're not allowed in the library when he's tired, because it seems the library is directly connected to his bedroom.
As expected from the great Greek and Latin teacher, you have quite the collection, hey?
"Ah, well, you know what Socrates said? What did he say, Sean? What did he say?"
He said, The more we know, we realize we know nothing.
Now. The only true wisdom is knowing you have nothing. You remember, I used to tell him about that, Brad. He'd always be, obviously I wasn't his direct professor, but he showed me a paper once, and he'd always quote things wrong. You can't do that level of study, Sean.
It wasn't really my field. That was your specialty, Nigel. You're the expert on that. I just teach high school children now.
Yeah, of course. And you can tell Nigel seems a little less jovial, but he turns to you, Brad. What do you do?
I'm looking at the books in the library and kind of marveling at the large collection. And then I look to Nigel. You spent a lot of time reading here, I bet.
Oh, yes, I've spent a lot of free time on my hands these days. You know how it is. It's all good, though. I've got some old friends. They've been sending me a lot of stuff. I've got some real... Look at this one. He wheels his wheelchair over with a little electrical hum and something in Latin. He can't quite tell what's on the cover, but he says, this one, this is a good one. Oh, and this one. This is the Tibetan Book of the Dead. Some very interesting philosophy, Tibet. Are you familiar with Tibet, Brad?
I just heard about it. It's, you know, the Dalai Lama and Richard Gere and, you know, it's in the news a lot, right? So...
Yeah, it is in the news a lot. Again, he goes and just starts looking at some of these books. You can tell already he's trying to fetch a couple and he can't quite reach one book on a shelf, you notice, Brad.
Oh, I moved to try to help him.
He smiles as you help him, although he does say, look at you helping me get a book off the shelf, Brad. Always the big, burly man. Did you know Sean? He's even when we were in a university, he was the big, tough guy. Helped me out a few times.
Yeah, that's, those are good to have around, eh? Someone who stands up for you. It's good that you had each other through that time.
Yeah, he looked out for me as well, you know. College is you make mistakes. I remember that.
Yeah. You do, eh? But you learn a lot, too, so...
Come on. A little too much dwelling on the past, friends. How about we have a little debate. Little debate. You know how I like those. So, okay. Here's one for you. He turns in his chair and just regards you. And again, he seems quite awake and quite excited. Of course he is. He loved talking about theoretical debate and philosophy. That's what he went on to study and teach until he had to leave the university. You know a lot about that, of course, Sean. And he says, so what do you think happens when you die?
And I go and I, are there places to sit in here, or?
Yes, there are. It's a very comfortable place to sit. The fire is roaring well, and there's nice, comfortable leather chairs. It's just you three now as well. It seems Miss Collins has excused herself. Although you're pretty sure she's nearby in case she was needed.
I go and sit in one of these chairs then, and I... put one leg over the other, and I say, well, it's just this life. It's, you know, I'm a medical man, I mean scientific at least. It's, I think you're done with what you do. Perhaps there's some sort of lingering energy that just stays and moves on to the next person, but aside from that, we're just matter, eh?
Well, I don't know. Did you remember what Plato said, Brad? He said, how can you determine whether at this moment in time we are sleeping and all our thoughts are a dream, or whether we're awake and talking to one another in the waking state? Like, how do you, what's the difference, really? Human consciousness and all that. What do you think? Like, Brad, what do you think?
I guess we can't really tell, can we? I mean, our minds will tell us what's real and what's a dream. But sometimes it mixes it up. And a dream seems like it's real, and reality seems like it's a dream.
Yeah. And which one's better? Who knows, right?
Yeah. I guess they can both be good. They can both be places to live.
I squint at him for a bit and just think to myself, he's talking about dreams yesterday as well. And I'm pretty sure I saw him older than I've seen him in real life in that last dream. What are you getting at?
I'm getting at what's it all about. Sean, you know me, I like to think about this sort of thing. I've been reading a lot about it. The afterlife and the states of being. I find myself reflective these days. I can't think why.
And I realize as he says this that my answer was perhaps a very clumsy one, not even considering for a bit how close he himself is to death's door. So I say, well, you're going to leave behind a lot of memories and the things that you've brought to this world, and perhaps, yeah, there is a chance of an afterlife where we get a chance to see others again, those we've loved again. If there was, would there be someone that you'd like to see there, Nigel?
A few folks. Maybe you too. Not, you know, now, but one day, if that's where things go. I'd like to see all the people in my life who were important to me.
I think I'd like that too. One day.
Yeah, when we're done, you know? When we're done with what we have to do here. Because, yeah, we have things to do. And we have this weekend, you know? Plenty of opportunities to do things and to talk and, you know?
And as you're saying that, Brad, you take a sip of your orange juice. Which is a bit strange, because didn't you order something else? You're drinking an orange juice. That's a bit weird.
It is. This isn't bourbon. I look down at it. Was it like this when I got it, or...?
Well, it must have been.
Yeah, I mean, I would have reacted otherwise, surely. I look to Sean if he has a drink.
Yes, Sean has a drink.
Is it also orange juice?
No, you think he's got a... Well, Sean, what did you order?
I didn't really order anything that... I assumed she would just bring the brandy that we were drinking yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's why you're holding a bourbon. Yeah, you've got a bourbon.
Yeah, that's what I'm swiveling around a bit, though it's not very much left, because I drink fast. It's just how it is.
Nigel sighs a little and lets out a bit of a yawn and says, "Oh, gentlemen, so embarrassing. I'm tired again. I was really enjoying our little chat. I might have to maybe let you guys enjoy dinner tonight. If you don't mind, is that okay?"
"Oh, no, don't worry about it. We understand, you know. We had time to talk already, you know, and there's still time left."
Hey, Nigel, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want a little piece of something?"
"Oh, maybe I could have a little something. Miss Collins?" Miss Collins comes in and sighs a little and says, "Nigel, I'm not sure that's a good idea." And Nigel kind of sinks in his chair and looks older, nods and says, no, Miss, I'm sorry, everybody. Miss Collins is right. I probably need to take care of myself, don't I?"
"Best not mix, you know. I'm sure... There are other things that you need to focus on, yeah, and other things your body needs more, right?"
He nods and begins moving away, and Miss Collins politely ushers you out of the room and says, "I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'll make sure you get something to eat. He was very good this morning, but he seems a little tired again. Maybe he's overexerting himself."
"What, if I can ask, what was it that he was doing all this morning that he couldn't see us until now?"
"He has moments where he needs a lot of rest. He probably slept in till about 12, 1 o'clock anyway. I didn't want to disturb him. Then, of course, I need to make sure his..." She pauses and says, "I need to make sure his needs are taken care of, you understand? I don't think he'd want me to go into it. Would it be professional?"
No, sure. I stand up and I look over at Brad. You rest well then, Nigel, eh? And we'll see you tomorrow."
He nods, and once again it's just you two for the evening, it seems. It's getting late, but over dinner you could share a word or two with each other if you wanted.
"Sean, what do you think? I didn't expect him to be quite this weak. Although I guess I don't know what I expected, but I'd hoped for him to have more energy, I guess."
"Yeah, a bit more, I would say, I don't know how to say it, but out of it, perhaps, than I thought. You know, I didn't think it would quite have gone so much to his intellect. He's always been very bright, and it's always one of the things I've enjoyed most about his company. And then I think to myself that was an absolute lie. It's definitely not what I've enjoyed most in his company. And now I suppose it's the maybe medicines or something, because he's not that old, and I don't think AIDS usually plays with your brain like that."
"I don't know. I hear all kinds of things in the media. But, yeah, it must be the medicine. I'm sure it's just that, you know, and maybe tomorrow will be a better day, you know?"
Yeah, maybe. Definitely tomorrow. Well, even if it isn't, it's still time spent with him, and whatever he wants to talk about. I just feel like I was a bit... I don't know, maybe I could have given him something a bit more hopeful. I'm not good at these things, speaking of death and the afterlife."
"It's not the easiest topic, is it? I mean, what are you supposed to say in a situation like this to a man like him, in the situation that he's in? I mean, I don't know if there's anything good that you can really say, anything that's not going to be coming across as... I don't know."
I just lean forward on my hands, cradling my forehead in them, and I just give out a long sigh. Yeah. No, it's... Oh, I wish I could... I don't know if this... I wish I could give him something, you know. So there is this thing that he always blamed himself for the me not taking my studies further. And sure, there were issues with how him and I met that got in the way, but it's not just that. I didn't want to. I don't know how to say that to him, that he'll understand it."
"Maybe the worlds will come to you. Yeah, just give it time."
I just sit there for a bit, cradling my head and rubbing my eyes. Before I say, "What about you? Do you have a... Are you still working? Are you working with the army?"
"Oh, yeah. I'm about to get out, though. I, you know, budget cuts, all that. We don't have an enemy anymore. But, well, defense contractors are still hiring. Turns out that, well, even if they don't need soldiers like me, they do need the bombs still, and I think I can help sell some bombs. I mean, something, I guess."
I look up at this, and I try to nod with some kind of understanding, but for me it's just such a different world than what I'm used to. I give a something of a smile. "Do you have a... Family then as well, or?
No, I just, long relationships, it's just not something that has ever really panned out for me. It's, I don't know, it just never happened like that. I don't know, it's not too late, yeah, maybe I'll meet the right one, you know, you never know.
I stare down onto my empty plate. It's hard, isn't it? Keeping something together, or keeping interest.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't give me what I need. But, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe I just need to get my head right. Maybe this new job. Maybe it'll take care of it, and I'll settle down and have 10 kids and a farm and horses.
Yeah. Yeah, probably 10 kids. Well, I'm sure with your officer training that you could manage it.
Yeah.
A clock chimes loudly in the background and you realize it's almost midnight.
Yeah, it's about time to turn in, huh? Time flies here, huh?
Yeah. Suppose we'll have to figure out something else to spend the day with tomorrow. I start getting up. Did you enjoy your time in the wild?
Yeah, it was very beautiful, actually. A bit worried about all this snow, though. I think Dwayne was right about that. Let's see how things pan out. I hope I can go out again tomorrow. It was really refreshing.
Yeah. And as we start going down the stairs, I say, are you... Anyway, are you? I mean, how long are you planning to stay here? I didn't figure it'd be much more than 3 days, maybe.
Yeah, so I'll leave when you leave. I don't think he will have energy to entertain us too much longer. We'll say what we need to say, and let's hope that the final day or whatever we end up with will be good.
And so, the two of you will eventually make your way to your rooms, and once again, night will fall. And then you are both in the library with Nigel, and you are sitting... No, Sean, you're standing by the bookcase. Bradford, you're sitting in the chair with your bourbon, and Sean, you have an orange juice. And Nigel asks you, so, let's do a little debate like we used to. I always enjoyed those. So what do you think happens when you die? Brad, what do you think?
I try to understand what is happening here, and is this real? Did I go to sleep? Is this a new day?
You remember going to sleep, don't you? You're not entirely sure. Wait, no, this happened. Yeah, you were talking with Nigel. You remember that?
I was. Yeah, I was. But it's different. What happens when we die? Gosh. I mean, the Bible has a pretty clear explanation, right?
Oh, I don't know about the Bible. Really, Brad? Come on now. Like, I mean, it's not... It's an interesting piece from a philosophical point of view, but I don't know if I believe in all that stuff too heavily. I mean, in that case, I guess I'm going straight to hell, according to some of those preachers, right?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of, you know, humans who... People, like you and me. I mean, people like us wrote parts of that, at least, right? Or all of it. You know, I'm sure they put in some stuff that shouldn't have been there. But the core is good. I think that's what my parents taught me, what my priest taught me. It's what I've always believed. But I don't know.
I get what you mean, Brad. I do. No, I do. And it's interesting. But I don't know. I always told you need to increase your reading a little more. Come on, Sean. Give him something good. You don't just read the Bible. You've read a few more books. Get more metaphysical with me. You're a man of science, aren't you?
Yeah, and I look down into my drink of orange juice. Feel a bit dissatisfied. Why did I want orange juice and swirling it about? Well, there's all kinds of theories, of course. I'd like to think that perhaps when you die, you end up in a nice room like this, eh, with a few of your friends, and you sit and you talk about philosophical conundrums for the rest of existence. What do you think about that? Wouldn't be that exactly what you would have wished for, Nigel, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'd pick a nicer room, although I do like my library, but I see what you mean. And he comes over and gives you a firm pat on the shoulder, because of course he's standing. He's not in a chair or anything. Looks good, by the way. Nice, neat mop of brown hair. Youthful.
I find my hand going up slowly to embrace his hand. And I just feel like, oh, it's nice how things turned out this way. How we somehow recovered. But wait, he looks a bit younger. Where am I? I feel a bit weird.
You do. Nigel, though, gives you a reaffirming squeeze, and he kind of walks over to Brad and he says, you know, here's a funny one. Have you ever heard the belief that some say that if you die in a dream, you die in real life, right? You've heard that one. But have you ever heard, like, what would the opposite be? Like, what would happen to you in your dreams if your body died while you were asleep? You don't die in the dream, but you die really. Like, what happens to the dream, do you think?
This is all very disconcerting. I'm trying to understand the situation and why is he the way he is? What happened? But then I come back to the question. Geez, I don't know, Nigel. I guess maybe you could live forever that way?
Well, if your dream is technically part of your consciousness, and how could you have a consciousness if you're brain dead?
Ah, that's a real good question. But what if, I mean, 1 second of consciousness, right? What is that in a different frame of reference? Like maybe that 1 second just before you die, maybe you can make your brain think it's an eternity. Maybe. I don't know. It's fun, isn't it? It's interesting to think about.
Yes, it is interesting. It's like the near-death experience when you feel like you have your whole life passing before your eyes, right? Even though if that's a conscious state, how everything is supposed to slow down, and you, technically, I suppose that dying moment could be seemingly elongated, and you could. Hopefully, and I don't know what that would entail. Find some sort of peace through.
Yeah, I tell you what, gentlemen. Let me go get some bourbon. Let's both have a proper drink. And you know what? I wanted to show you something else earlier. And he goes to a bookshelf, and then he's in a chair, and an electrical hum sound, and it seems like there's something sputtering a little, and he can't reach the book he was reaching for. He looks at you, Brad, and says, I'm sorry, could you pass me that book? I don't, why am I in this chair?
Oh, of course, Nigel, sure, yeah, wow, deja vu. I move to help him.
I look over at Brad as he says this, and I just try to connect my gaze with yours.
And I look at you like, there's something weird here. Like, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, is it? Did you seeing what I'm seeing? I try to convey that through a look, and I don't know how well I'm able to get that across, but that's what I attempt to do.
Well, yes, it is strange, because both of you were aware that he was standing a minute ago, and now he's in a chair, and he seems quite distressed, and he does say to you once again, Sean, like, why am I in this? Not supposed to be in this chair. That's not right. Why am I in a chair? This stupid chair. You can't reach the bookshelf.
I find myself stumbling for words, and I just try to look around and see the other room. Is his bedroom there with all the machinery and what we saw before?
No. In fact, as you stand up, Sean, there's no other doors in this room except one. There's a door. A small, simple wooden door just standing in the middle of the room. It's not attached to anything. It's literally just a wooden door just in the middle of the room.
And as I see this and I see Brad going hesitantly to help Nigel to bring back that book from the shelf, I go over to the door to just feel it.
You feel the door. It's cold. Very cold. And as you put your hand on it, you then feel a knock from the other side. Knock, knock. What do you do?
I look over at Brad. What is happening?
I don't know. I've handed the book to Nigel, but now I'm focusing on Sean. I don't know, but it's not right.
The door knocks again, harder. Something on the other side is banging on this door. Bang! 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 The door shakes a little, even though it isn't attached to anything. What do you do, Sean? You're the closest.
I say, who's there?
The door bangs harder again. Bang! 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 You see Nigel look to you, Sean, and his eyes have panic as he tries to say something, but it's hard for him to say because he starts coughing. don't open the door! Don't open it! Brad, don't do it!
I start looking around for something to put against it, like a table or a chair or something.
You do, and you find something, and then you're awake. And you're in your room, and Sean, you're awake, but you can't move. You're awake, but you can't move. You try and lift your hand, and your whole body just feels numb, and you can't move. You can't move, but you're awake. What do you do, Sean?
Jeepers, what's going on? I try to raise my head to see if I'm stuck somehow.
No, you're just in the bed, lying perfectly still on it, in your room, and there's a window, and it's morning. There's a lot of snow outside, but you can't move. Your chest starts tightening a little. You feel a sense of panic.
I try to call out for help.
And you think, as you do, you can hear somewhere someone's voice. Nigel? Nigel, calling your name as well. Brad, you wake up as well in your own room, and you too, you can't move. You're awake, your eyes start moving around, but you just feel like your body is sluggish and not moving. What do you do? How do you feel?
I'm panicking. This is my worst nightmare, being trapped like this. I try my best to get out of bed, to try to get up, to try to regain control of my body.
It takes time, minutes. You feel something heavy on you, Brad, then, like something is holding you down by your shoulders.
I try to push it away. What the hell is this?
And then you sit bolt upright, Brad. You sit bolt upright and you can move. You feel very... Yeah, your shoulders feel so sore, though. You kind of feel like you have bruising. Like, you kind of feel your shoulders and it feels like there's a bruise there. It feels that sort of tenderness.
I look down, I pull my shirt aside, and I look. Are there bruises there?
Yes, there are.
Fuck. This isn't good. I go to pick up the gun. Whatever this is, I mean, there must be some freaking explanation for it. Maybe we're being drugged. Yeah, I mean, God knows what the Russians were developing. I mean, maybe it's something like that. I mean, I have no idea why it would be here, but maybe they're trying to get after me. Yeah, I mean, I'm connected with the Pentagon. Maybe this is all some plot. Okay, let's think this through rationally. All right, I need to get to Sean, and we need to get out of here. That's what we need to do. So I carrying the gun with me, I begin moving towards Sean's room.
Sean, you also can move again. How are you feeling? You have this horrible pain in your shoulders, and you feel bruised there, but you can move, and then suddenly you think someone's at your door. Brad, how do you enter the room?
I'm banging on the door with the butt of the gun, just like, Sean, come on, we gotta go.
What? I just try to recover my breath after that whole feel tightness in my chest, and I stand up, and I just have my underwear and what I've been sleeping in on. What's the matter? What's going on, Brad?
Yeah. Come on, open the door. I mean, something's going on.
I go up to open it.
And you see me standing there in my pajamas with a gun in my hand.
What the hell are you? What are you doing?
Something's weird, right? It's not just me going crazy.
I had a dream, and you were in it. We were in the library, and there was just this door in the middle.
Yeah, I saw the same thing.
And then I couldn't move, and I woke up.
Yeah, and I show my bruised body. It is bruised still, right?
Yes. It's very light bruising, though. In fact, it's already starting to fade. I feel tired, but a bit better.
Let me look at that for a bit. Having started a bit of medicine, I just try to see what it is and what it could have come from.
You give him a quick look over, you look yourself over, and... It's like someone was holding you down, maybe? Some pressure applied to the shoulders. But again, there's no actual bruising. The closer you look at the bruises, the more they seem to sort of seem quite minimal. And you feel better now, and... Even though it was quite an unpleasant experience, you are feeling a lot better. Hungry, though.
Yeah, definitely something wrong here. There are signs here that someone has been holding you down, and just the same as me, but they're... I don't know. I think, yes, perhaps we should take our leave. If we have something to eat, and then maybe excuse ourselves to Nigel, maybe we could just go in and say our goodbyes, eh?
Yeah. I mean, we have to say, you know, say it properly. It might be the last time we see him, but... This is too messed up. I don't want to stay here.
Yeah. No. I think I need to. I have places to be, and so I, as I kind of stumble out a few words, I immediately start just picking my things together and get dressed, and I even take my jacket on as if I'm about to head out this very second.
And you begin getting ready. It's at this point that Miss Collins comes down the stairs and says, "Gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but today... is everything okay?"
I try to put the gun behind my back when I hear her approaching.
And you do so, and it slips easily into your back trousers. You know how to keep it safe there.
Of course.
I had this call, and... You see, I need to be back in the city, so we're just thinking that perhaps we could. I think you wanted to come with me, right, Brad? So we'll maybe could say our goodbyes and.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's a shame. He was expecting you two tomorrow, wasn't he? But okay. Hang on. Dwayne and Letitia haven't been able to get here today. It's a little bit difficult to get out, but let me see what I can do. And she sort of vanishes from view, and well, at this point you could go and look outside if you wanted. You are near the kitchen again.
Yeah, I've been worried about that snow, so I go and I look out. Is it as bad as we feared it would be?
Outside is snowing heavily. You immediately notice, looking at the door, that the snow is almost halfway up around the door.
Oh my god. We're not going anywhere, Sean.
Well, we'll need. We could, if we have a decent enough car to go in. I'm sorry, Miss Collins. How is there a car that we could use if Dwayne is not here to give us a ride? Hey,
she kind of gestures for you that she's on the phone. Yes. No. Oh dear. No, it... She looks out the window herself. It's worse than I thought it would be. It wasn't supposed to be this bad. I'm so sorry. Is it seriously an emergency? Dwayne's telling me he doesn't think he can get up here for today at all. They're hoping in the morning it falls a bit. Do you really need to go so soon? Maybe in the morning it will be a bit better.
I suppose it's... I mean, if it's like this, I don't know that we could go in even if we wanted to, so, yeah.
Well, it would be very good if he could make it.
No, I'll give him another call. I'll tell him to get some stuff ready, and, like, if you really need to go, like, we might be able to get the local sheriff to bring up, you know, the plow. We might be able to get through. I mean, again, hopefully it'll be better tomorrow. It's not supposed to have been this bad. And she looks out the window herself, looking quite concerned, like, I'm going to need to make sure the fire's going. It could get quite cold.
And I feel a bit silly now, standing there in my down jacket and almost, well, starting to sweat a bit. So I take it off, and if he can do anything, the sheriff, you say, then that would be really good. I suppose I could excuse myself, but maybe if I would appreciate it if you could give him a call, and we'll have breakfast in the meantime.
She nods and makes the calls and tells you what you expected to hear, that it's going to be difficult. They'll do their best, though, to get you tomorrow. If the weather doesn't improve, tomorrow they'll definitely come. But for today, they don't see a rush. And she does ask you at one point, like, is it seriously an emergency? And I think both of you kind of struggle to come up with a reason why. The breakfast feels good, and are you going to tell them that you had a bad dream and you need to leave the house immediately?
No, I think we probably realize how that would sound, and the more time passes, unless something else happens, I suppose your mind starts to rationalize it. It didn't really happen that way. Maybe it's not so bad. It's just, yeah, it's going to be fine. Just tomorrow. We'll go tomorrow. It'll be okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't suppose... I mean, there's anything else to do here. Could we perhaps take some of the books from the library? I don't want to disturb Nigel, but I've already read my magazine.
She nods, and a few hours will pass, and she'll do her best to give you some refreshments, and you'll be allowed in the library at one point, and you can peruse it. In fact, as you're doing so, Nigel suddenly just emerges. You can hear the buzzing of the wheelchair, and he looks around and he says, hey, you slept in quite late today. Sorry about that. Are you two all right? What's Miss Collins tells me you need to go. What do you need to go? It's so awful out there. You're not gonna go for a walk in that.
No, I don't think we can get out when it's like this. Nigel, this is gonna sound strange, but you been seeing any weird dreams recently?
No, my dreams are dull and uninteresting. Why, did you have an interesting dream?
Maybe it's this place or something. Just things were strange, and Sean here seemed to have a similar dream, and you're not supposed to dream the same things.
Yeah. We both seem to have dreamed the same thing, Nigel. It's very strange. We were both in this library, and you were here, and you were young for a bit, and then you were like you are now again, and there was this door in the middle of the room that there were these loud bangings. I don't know if this at all sounds familiar to you. It's just so strange we were dreaming the same thing, both of us.
Nigel's nodding, but you notice he's just kind of wheeled his wheelchair over to the windows, and he's just sort of staring out at the snow, and he just sort of nods. Yeah. Sorry, what?
Just strange dreams is all, and...
Strange dreams. Oh, okay. Well, repeat that again.
You were asking us yesterday, do you remember what you thought happened after...
Yeah, of course I do. Of course I remember. It's not like I don't remember things, you know. It's just sometimes I have trouble concentrating and... Oh, sorry. He starts coughing quite heavily.
And I feel a bit reluctant to say anything, so I just look over to Brad. Maybe we could talk about something else. I'm sorry. It's just...
No, it's fine. It's... I'm sorry. This isn't... Fuck it. Just fucking... Fuck it! Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm acting stupid.
That's all right. But you were talking a bit about... maybe we can talk about something else.
I'm making things uncomfortable, Anne. This wasn't what I wanted for the weekend. This weather as well. This is what I wanted. No,
it's not your fault. It's no one's fault, Nigel. It's fine. All right. Well, it's fine.
Okay. I don't think you're going to get out today, but I'll make sure. I'll make a call. You need to leave tomorrow? You need to leave early?
I just think it would be good if I could get back to the city.
I understand. I understand. Who wants to be locked up in here with little old me anyway? And
you know that it's not what I meant, Nigel. Not at all. It's been lovely, and we've been nothing but well received. I don't know. I have some things that we need to take care of. It's just work that needs to be done. If I could choose, and I'm kind of lying here. It's not completely true. But I just feel this quite urgent need to actually get out of here.
He nods and says, I understand. I'll make sure to make a call. Normally, it shouldn't be this bad, and just in case it is, they can get a plow up here. I'll say I need something. I need something. They'll make an exception and come up here tomorrow morning. I'll see you to it. And he kind of just starts muttering to himself then and just looking at the books on the shelf.
Yeah, that sounds good. Hey, so what time is it now? Is it still the morning or...?
Now you think it's about 1-2 o'clock. Time does seem to be flying very quickly. A bit strange.
Well, I'll just go back to my room. Just check my stuff. I say as I kind of absentmindedly begin moving back to my room.
Nigel just sort of slumps in his chair, looks at you as you start leaving, and then just nods, and then again just says, oh, sorry, were you saying something, Sean?
I was just thinking I could take something with me if you have anything you think I could...
Help yourself. He kind of then flippantly gestures around and then says, Sean, I'm sorry, I'm tired again. Maybe I'll go to bed early. Tell Miss Collins I want to eat in my room.
Nigel, I wanted to just mention something. I know you've been blaming yourself a bit about, you know, how things went down. We talked about this already. I just feel like I really want you to know that I made my own choices, and it's not because of what happened, you know. It kind of sparked things off, but it just made me realize a few things.
He nods, but he's not really listening, and he just says, I'm so sorry, Sean. You gotta again, a lot of coughing, and I think I need to take some more of my... I got a lot of pills and pretty bottles these days. I'm gonna go have some now. Can you get Miss Collins for me, please?
Yeah. I'll get her for you. And I'm just thinking to myself that, okay, maybe I should talk to him like earlier on about this when he's in a fresher state of mind. I take one of the books that seem interesting or old, and I start leaving to get Miss Collins for him.
And she comes in and takes him away, and she, as you're leaving, says, Mr. Shanahan, yeah, Mr. Carson, I'm sorry, he's really... It's not that he doesn't remember things, you know, it's more that he just gets very... He finds it hard to focus, and he gets very frustrated, which is, you know, quite common with his symptoms in this stage of... Well, you know, thank you for not being too hard on him.
Well, yeah, of course, I mean, he's just always been... had such a sharp mind, so it must be terrible for him to feel like he's not being able to be present in the way that he used to, especially with us who know him that way.
He needs a lot of rest, but again, I think he was happy to have you here. I'm so sorry he's not feeling well today. Don't worry, he's made the calls, and tomorrow morning we'll make sure you guys get out of here. Hopefully, again, it will be fine. It, you know, one night of heavy snowfall normally clears up.
I hesitate for a bit before I go, and then I say, Miss Collins, I just have to ask, have you ever experienced strange dreams while staying in this place?
Well, no, actually. I never remember my dreams, personally. I just go to sleep and wake up again. But Mr. St. Denis, he certainly has a few. Sometimes he says they're very uninteresting, though, but I can tell. I've seen him sleeping. But it's a subject that interests him, though. He loves these dream catchers. And she sort of gestures, and you notice there's one in the study. You didn't notice it before, but there's just one above the door, one of these little dream catchers.
And something about that gives me this eerie feeling. I just really don't want to experience what I did last night again. It was frightening. So I nod and I say my good night, and as I come back into the room, I want to get rid of that dream catcher that's in there.
You go and you pick it up, and what do you do with it?
I'm just going to put it in the kitchen or something.
The day passes. What do you do until evening? It seems you won't be seeing Nigel again, and again the snow is just steadily falling quite heavily. Miss Collins gives you some food, but otherwise it seems not much to do until tomorrow morning. What do you do, Brad?
I'm pacing around my room and trying to think of ways I could fortify this place in case whatever that thing was, in case it comes back, you know, or the Russian agents or whatever it is. Or maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me going crazy. And in that case, maybe it's good that I don't, you know, interact too much with the others. Yeah, I'm trying to find a way to fortify this room, is what I'm doing during the day.
Well, you could move some of the wardrobes against the door, but then your room doesn't have a window, so you'd just be trapped in your room. But if that makes you feel better, you can certainly do that.
Yeah, I'll do that for a bit, just to test it out, and then try and move it back, and just... Yeah, make sure that it's ready for when I need it.
And what about you, Sean? Before retiring, what do you do?
Well, I think I'm gonna try and just distract myself. I first just look in my exercise magazine, and I go to the toilet and I just jerk off. I try to distract myself, try to calm myself. It's what I usually do. I'm kind of wish that I'd brought something even... I just watch some porn.
Sadly, you didn't, and to be honest with you, it doesn't really help. You just feel tired and alone. You too, Brad. Both of you just feel tired and alone. This house surrounded by snow. And you retire to sleep, troubled and feeling isolated out here in the cold.
You have listened to an episode of Red Moon Roleplaying, where we played the scenario Etin Arcadia Ego for Cult Divinity Lost. Etin Arcadia Ego was written by James Estes, originally released back in 1994, and with a revised edition just released for free by the fantastic folks at Helmgast, who have also sponsored this series. The revised edition is dedicated to Terry Kevin Amthor, who was instrumental in making the original American release of Cult happen, and who we tragically lost earlier this year. The music was made by Atrium Carceri, and was used with permission from their label Cryochamber. Check out their website at cryochamber.bandcamp.com or their YouTube channel for some moody dark ambient for your gaming table. We would like to give massive thanks to our champions of the Red Moon, Martin Hoyschobert, Nastasha Rollerson, Simon Cooper, David, Julia, Camilla, Ludwig Manford, Bob Delange, Julian, Cameron, Ryan F., and Xavier for their generous support. And we would of course also like to thank all of our other patrons. Without your support, the show would not be possible. If you want early access to our content and to hear raw versions of our recordings right after we have done them, or get your name announced as a champion of the Red Moon, do check out our higher level tiers on Patreon. It's a great way to get more Red Moon roleplaying in your life, and to help us keep the show going. Thank you again for listening, and happy holidays from us at Red Moon Roleplaying.